Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back Jessica Browner. We're going to be talking about her newest anthology. She's got a couple. One's out, one's coming out in July. And what other wonderful adventures she's been having. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sherry. It's great to be back. I am excited to get to chat with you again about all these wonderful things that are happening.
Yeah, you just came from a convention not very long ago, right?
Yeah, I was at WeedonCon out here in Los Angeles a couple weekends ago now. It's a very fun, small con based around all things Joss Whedon. So, you know, we have Buffy, we have folks that were doing the, As You Like It, a whole bunch of different things that were going on that weekend. Buffy, of course, being the main attraction at that particular convention. And Firefly, of course. But that was really fun. They doubled in size from last year. Still a fairly small convention, but all the proceeds from that do go to a charity. I think they pick a different one each year. I don't remember what they chose this year, but it's a really good group of people.
That's really cool that the money goes to a charity. Wow. How
yeah.
And he does that every year? He sends all the money to a charity?
Well, it's a group of fans that put it together. Every year they send the money to a charity that they raise. And it's a really nice convention because being as small as it is, you can really get up close and personal with the actors and the celebrities that show up at that one. You know, they'll be wandering around and catch them, you know, having dinner and, you know, checking things out in the exhibit hall.
That's really cool. I love that. And I also love when they're, like, as curious about the things going on as we are. It's just so much fun to talk to people when they're like, oh, wow, look at that art, you know.
Very much so.
Are you going to be writing a new convention guide, or is that, like, not really on the agenda right now?
Well, my publisher keeps asking, my rep at the publisher keeps asking me to write a second one. I haven't quite gotten enough material together for a second one yet, so that's my holdup. So if anybody has ideas for what they would like to see, please, please feel free to find me on Facebook and message me as to what you would like to see in a convention guide. And once I get enough material for things people want to know about, then I will happily put another one together because that one was really fun to write.
That's really cool. Do you have a section about putting on a fan convention?
You know, I don't cover that specifically. The book that I currently have out is more for the fans on attending a convention. I'm not sure if there is a book out there on how to run a fan convention. I know that a lot of people have started that project, and I don't know if anyone has actually finished it or not. But that might be a good resource to put together. There are a number of really good Facebook groups that talk about that particular endeavor, because it is an endeavor, actually putting on a fan-run convention. It's very fun, but it is a lot of work, and it does generally require someone with a great deal of organizational skills to sort of oversee the whole thing.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so many moving parts to it. I don't know how they do it. It's just... we have a couple of fan-run conventions here in San Diego, and, you know, and there's always hiccups and things like that. But really, they're done so well. And you're wondering, how do they, and because it's all fans, it's all volunteer work, how do they do it, you know?
Lots and lots of meetings over pizza and beer.
And those are requirements, the pizza and the beer.
Well, I mean, you know, you could change it up and do, like, Italian or some Chinese every once in a while. But, you know, pretty much the beer is the rest.
So you went to the Whedon convention. Was there any other ones that you went to this year that was standout, that was rather phenomenal? Or any events that you went to this year that was rather standout?
Well, I tend to hit most of the conventions, most of the big conventions in the L.A. area. Those are always fun. WeedonCon is the first one that I've actually done. I was actually a vendor at WeedonCon this year. I haven't done that in a while. And it was really fun to get back into that and remind myself as to, you know, how it is to be able to sit there and get to know the fans as they come to you instead of just going around and doing the panels. I will be at San Diego Comic-Con wandering around again this year. I'm not getting a table there. It's a little out of my price range. But
yeah.
looking forward to that event, nevertheless. And still kind of working out my schedule for the rest of the year, trying to figure out, you know, which events I want to try to vend at again and which ones I'm just going to attend and have a good time and meet people.
Yep. It's really interesting. The conventions that in L.A. and the conventions in San Diego, they're so different. It has a different feel to it since I moved here. Do you think that each area that you go to that has a convention has their own flavor?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. You know, when I moved out here, of course, from the Denver area, and in Denver, I went to, you know, all of the local Denver conventions. And I will say out there, they all, you know, they're all Denver-based. They all have a fairly similar feel. And everybody's friendly. And you see the same people at every convention. And it's nice because you make really good friends that way. And then moving out here to Los Angeles, the conventions have a very different flavor. They're much larger. They're much more, I guess, bustly. Is the word that I want to use. There's a lot more foot traffic. There's a lot more people at them. And it's a little harder to actually get to know the vendors and the attendees just because there's so many of them. I imagine. Now, I've not been to any of the San Diego conventions, though, other than Comic-Con, obviously. I have heard that there are two steampunk conventions down in the San Diego area. Gas Lamp something. I've forgotten, unfortunately, what the actual names are. But I've heard that those are very fan-friendly, particularly for the steampunk community, that they're a lot of fun. And also smaller and, you know, easier to get to know folks.
In fact, they just had one. I wasn't able to attend, but they just had one. It's Gas Lamp is the area that it's in, and it's just Gas Lamp Steampunk Convention. Gas Lamp's actually an old, old area of San Diego. It's got a very interesting history if you ever have time to read it. But Ladies of the Night used to walk down that area. One of the reasons it's called Gas Lamp. But then it went up in the 20s, and because they're very prestigious hotels and stuff like that went into the area, and it's got the son of a president built a hotel there, and then a bunch of other really prestigious hotels came in there, and it's very interesting. They cleaned
really
it up because of the expedition in Balboa Park, the famous world. That's one of the reasons they cleaned up the area. It's very, very interesting. I mean, it sort of reminds me of parts of L.A. because that's where I'm from. That completely changed through the years. You know, the whole area was one way, and now it's completely a different way. I love learning the history of places.
Well, one of these days I'm going to have to explore that area, sometime not during San Diego Comic-Con.
No, that's the worst time.
as I recall from last year, it was impossible to get anywhere during Comic-Con, and it looked like it was a really interesting area, you know, that I should go spend some time down there when it's not quite so busy.
Well, I like to do the outdoor events at Comic-Con. Some of them are in the Gaslight area. But they have, like vendors that have, like, tents that are outside. It's like a circus. It's kind of cool. You don't have to pay for the Comic-Con or anything. You just take some time in the morning or before the Comic-Con and wander around and look at everything, because there was some really cool tents there last year, and there was some really, really cool tents the year before. So they had a Wonder Woman tent this year. And I mean, they have all kinds. Yeah, and they give really nice giveaways. I really recommend taking some time and wandering around the outside events. And they go pretty far. I mean, they've had outside events all the way where I live, which is pretty inland. So, I mean, it's really fun. If you can't afford Comic-Con or you can't get in, which a lot of us can't, that's something to do. You can still take part in Comic-Con, but you won't be in Comic-Con, but there's a lot of events. Just letting you know.
I will have to check that out this year, because I have to admit, last year I mostly focused on the things inside the convention center, and the crowds were a little hard for me to deal with. I don't deal with quite that many people all that well.
Yeah.
I need to take my own advice in my book. This year I'll make sure to check out some of those outside events too, because I saw the tents, but I didn't make the time to go, you know, actually look at them.
Oh, yeah, it's really cool. Some stuff, it's like, what's the name? A couple of years ago, they had the coolest Ender's Game for the movie tent.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. I mean, it was huge. And they had, like, they gave you a little badge, and they had all these things from props from the movie, and these great movie projections of, like, Harrison Ford and stuff like that. I mean, this is an outside thing, and it was like you were inside the convention center. Really, we're seeing some of this stuff.
Okay. That is very cool. I will definitely check
was.
That out this year.
I don't know what they're having, but there usually is at least one really good one.
Okay.
So I'm going to switch topics, and I'm going to switch to writing. I know you have two different anthologies. One is already out, called Ghost Hunting Critters, an Anthology. That will be out in September, and the other one's out in July. Sorry.
Yep, they're both
coming
soon.
Okay.
That is okay.
Well, let's start with the one that's coming out in September, since I brought that up. Do you want to tell about it, what brought the idea, and tell a little bit about what the stories are so you can get people interested, since it's, you know, you want pre-sales?
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually an anthology put together by a friend of mine, J.A. Campbell. She's a Colorado-based author, and she writes a series of books where she likes her animals quite a bit. She lives on a farm. She's got border collies and horses, and spends a lot of time working with those animals. And so most of her books actually focus around animals that help humans. And so she has several books out about Doc, the ghost-hunting dog. And she decided she wanted to put together an anthology of stories about animals that can see ghosts or hunt ghosts or, in some cases, are ghosts. And so she's put together this great little collection from authors certainly all over Colorado and mostly the Midwest, I think. And that will be coming out in September, as I said. And there are stories from the perspective of dogs. Apparently there's one from the perspective of a goldfish. I'm very curious to read that one myself. my particular story focuses on actually the ghost of a Yeti that has been stuck in Breckenridge, Colorado for centuries. And he finally, meets up. He's haunting a hostel up in Breckenridge and meets an author. And it's finally like, oh my goodness, here's somebody who actually writes the stories that I like to read. He's been stuck there so long, he learned how to read, but he never learned how to speak. And so he spends a great deal of time with this author and manages to find a method of telling her his stories, and she writes his stories for him. And
aww.
So in this particular one, he's telling the story about how he became a ghost. And it's a little bit gruesome because, you know, generally if you're going to become a ghost, something pretty bad has to happen, but I don't want to spoil the whole thing. So this is actually the second story in that series. The first story can be found over on my author page, authorpage.com/J.A. Bronner. And the first one is called Ghostwriter. So the one that's coming out in this anthology is the second story for this particular set of characters. But it's going to be a fantastic anthology. I know Julie pretty well, and she's the editor on this, and she has really good taste in these stories, so it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that reminds me of a series of mysteries that I really enjoyed. They're like all the animals talk to each other, and they're much smarter than the humans, and they help their mistress, who is a human, solve murder mysteries. But it's such fun because the cats and the dogs are going, God, why is he being so dumb? Go there, go there. And they're trying to pull her over there. The kitty who never bites bit her ankle to get her to look over this way because she's in danger, they're going to hit you. I can't remember the name of the series, but the author's name is something like Edna May.
I'll have to check her out.
Oh, they're so cute. But they're murder mysteries, so I don't know if you're into that. I love science fiction, but I also love murder mysteries, so that's like one of my other adorations.
I actually just finished a murder mystery where the animals help the human. There's a series of books known as the Cat Who books. In this case, the one I just finished was The Cat Who Moved a Mountain by Lillian Jackson Brown or Lillian Brown Jackson. I can't remember. And that's a similar kind of thing. The main character is a journalist, and he has these two Siamese cats. The Siamese cats always help him solve the mystery. It's very fun.
Oh, I'd love to read those. Okay, they're called Cat Who?
If you Google the Cat Who mysteries, I'm sure they'll come up.
Okay. I just love that the animals are smarter than humans. I can believe that completely and utterly. Because it's like, I think in the other series I was telling you about, there was like, she has two cats and a dog, and they're all little.
Mm-hmm.
But she has horses, and they also talk to each other, and they talk to the cats, and they're saying, oh, there's an owl up there, and he's being very antisocial. And, I mean, the animals have more of a social life than the humans in the books.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. That is what you just reminded me when you were telling me the story. Now, your other one that's coming out sooner in July, it's called Woe and Wonder. You want to tell about that one?
Mm-hmm. This is an anthology that I'm putting together. It has authors from all over the United States, including Stephen L. Sears, whom I know you've had on the program several times before, and Peter J. Wax, who also has been on this program.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I anticipate will be out in July. This one is a real mixture of stories. It's got a little bit of everything. Science fiction, fantasy, steampunk, some horror thrown in there. I don't usually do horror, but we had some pretty good ones this year. So it sort of spans genres. It's just a good look at, it's a sampling of different authors. So it was really fun to put together. And that one should be out. I'm actually waiting on the proof copy from the printer right now. So I'm hoping that I will have it out by July 1st. But if not, certainly then very early in July.
How cool. Can you give us a clue what the stories are about? Or?
Well, there is one story in there that is a time-traveling love story. Actually, there's two time-traveling love stories in there now that I think about it. there's a zombie story. That one was my contribution to this particular endeavor. A zombie story that focuses on energy storage.
Interesting.
we have a, let's see, what else do we have? A story about a mermaid.
Okay.
That is just absolutely delightful, and the challenges in meeting people who don't look like yourself. And one that I put in there for amusement's sake, about a superhero who makes very bad decisions.
Really?
This is another case of that. Yes, it is in fact a bunny superhero. Our superhero is a bunny, and she does in fact make very bad decisions in life. Sometimes she is sometimes driven by her spacer instincts, and that definitely shows up in this particular story.
A bunny superhero that goes by baser instinct. Very, very interesting.
I have to admit, that one is probably one of the more graphic stories in the book. But it is fun.
Sounds it. Sounds adorable. Who did the time travel story? That's my one of my favorite themes. Who did the time travel stories?
Well, interestingly, the two time travel stories that we have in the book are written, one by Stephen L. Sears and one by Peter J. Wack.
Cool. Because that's like one of my favorite things is time travel. It's just, I've always been fascinating since I was a little girl and saw The Time Machine with Rod Taylor. Mm-hmm. I think that hooked me from being a little girl into time travel.
They're both very delightful stories. And they have different takes on them, obviously.
Of course.
Stephen, this anthology came together because of a monthly service that I was running for a while called Story of the Month Club. And so we had authors that would submit once a month, and we would send out to our subscribers once a month, and this is last year's anthology of all of these compiled. And Stephen had our February story for Valentine's Day. And then Peter actually submitted two stories, and so we used his time travel story as our bonus story for the year that ended up, you know, ending out the year in December. So it was they were both very delightful, and it kind of bookended our year.
That's so cool, though. I don't want you to give the stories away, but can you give me the themes of them? Is that possible?
The themes of
or
the stories, wow.
Other than
there's
I know
so
we,
many of
you know,
them.
There's so, like, you know, something that, because it's coming in July, so I want to push. is there anything that stands out that makes somebody a hot property that people want to buy it?
Well, it is, like I said, it is a compilation of authors that you're not going to see together very often, so it is a broad range of things. And so if you're really looking for a sampling, you're like, who am I going to read this summer? Man, I can't decide on the genre. This is the book for you, because it really comes in all genres, and it's going to give you a sampling to look through and say, you know, I've never heard of that author before. I'm going to go find out what they're writing. I'm going to go see what they're doing. And
That's
this is really
true.
Going to be a good anthology for that. You know, we do have some established authors in here, obviously, but we do have some newer authors that you're not going to find elsewhere. So this is going to be a good way to check those out, see where the next trends are going to lie. And also, you know, it's a book of short stories, so, you know, you can pick it up, you can flip through and find what suits you for any given day.
That's something that's always fun about short story anthologies. I kind of love those because they're so much fun because they're always, everyone is different. So, and also, if you've never read something, like I hadn't read steampunk until someone gave me a steampunk novel. It was a very, very, it was a novella, very, very short. And it actually interested me in steampunk. So if you've never read a sci-fi story or a steampunk story or something like that, and you're like, oh, I really want to read it, but I don't want to invest in the whole thing. And anthology is a really good way to go, don't you think?
Oh, I totally 100% agree with that. When I was running this monthly subscription service, that was sort of the idea, was to introduce people to different genres in an easy, you know, easy-to-digest bite. Because, I mean, an 800-page novel, that's commitment. You know, that's your summer reading right there, unless you're just an avid reader. And, you know, short stories, it's not that much of a commitment. It's 30, 60 pages, not that much. So it's a good way to sort of dive into the different genres without totally having to commit yourself to, you know, 800 pages of everyone dies at the end of the chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have a lot of time, so I want you to give out your information, your website, your any kind of other information, any events you're going to that you want people to see you at, you know, book signings or anything like that. Or any, you know, if there's something that's coming up online, like when your book comes out, are you going to have an online event? You know, anything like that. The floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate that, Sherry. My website is, of course, jessicabronner.com. That's JessicaBronner.com. If you're interested in free short stories from me, you can go to my author page, which is authorpage.com/JA Bronner. That one I have two or three free stories up on, and you can read previews of my other books up there as well. I am going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, as I mentioned. Once this newest anthology comes out in July, I may organize some online events. I haven't done that yet, but I kind of want to get together with the authors that have contributed, see what they want to do. So keep an eye out for that on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JA Bronner. And, of course, I'm always on Twitter at J.A. Bronner. Kind of a theme going. It makes it easy to remember where to find me.
I do the same thing. It's easier for people to find you if they know where to look.
Yeah, generally speaking, I've found that to be true. All my books are available on Amazon, or when I am attending conventions, I usually have some with me as well. Currently the most popular book that I have out is The Guide to Convention Etiquette. That's Charisma Plus One. It's available on Amazon and Kindle and in paperback format. I recommend the paperback because it is actually pocket-sized. You can take it with you to the convention.
Cool.
And that's basically where to find me.
And do you have any kind of so you don't have any online events coming up now, but you think you may have some in July?
Yes, I anticipate I will put one together for the release of the anthology. I have not organized that yet because I don't want to jump the gun and say, hey, come buy our books when it's not quite ready yet.
I've
learned from experience on that one. So.
Okay. My last question is very, very simple. Do you have a favorite author and genre, and does it change every year?
Do I have a favorite author and genre, and does it change every year? My goodness. That is a hard question.
I didn't think it was that hard.
Well, the answer as to the favorite author, yes, that changes. I know a lot of authors, and I enjoy reading the authors. I enjoy reading books by authors that I know. So picking a favorite is kind of hard. Of the authors that I personally know, my favorite author right now is J.L. Forrest. He has a collection of short stories out as well as a novel, and he just went through a publishing spate, so he probably actually has quite a few short stories available on Amazon right now. He is another Colorado-based author, and his work is very rich and deep, and it really sucks you in. I really like reading his stuff out of authors that I personally know. For authors that I don't personally know, I have to say that Mercedes Lackey is just... it's like brain candy. She's so easy to read. It's so entertaining. It's light and fluffy, and it still manages to get some meaning across. But when I need a go-to book or a go-to author for, you know, I'm sitting on the couch at night by myself, then I pick up one of her books, and I can, you know, breeze through one of her books in 3 or 4 hours, and it's just a really nice, light read. Really enjoy those.
Cool.
And so,
and
favorite genre?
Genre.
That's harder. I tend to stick towards fantasy, science fiction, steampunk. But I have found lately that I will occasionally pick up things outside of those genres. I just read a book recently about a gentleman who was a bookseller on a Paris barge. And I've forgotten the name of the book. It was like the Book Apothecary or something like that. And that was delightful. But it's really hard to say what my favorite genre is. I do read a fair bit. But yeah, I guess I do tend to stick towards fantasy for the most part.
Yeah, I understand, because one of my friends calls me a genre whore because I jump from genre to genre. I don't stick to any of them. I'm always curious about other people's desires and favorites and stuff like that. Your friend and my friend Steve teases me because I always ask, "What's your favorite?" Because there's no such thing as a favorite.
You know, in this particular instance, I agree with you on. I agree with Steve on that. I don't have a particular favorite. My particular favorite is whatever I'm reading at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said I don't have one myself, but I always ask because I know there are some people. My dad for years stuck with only old classic science fiction. I mean, my brother and I tried forever to wean him off. We finally got him to read mysteries. I mean, there are people who like to stick to one subject. So that's why one of the reasons I ask.
totally fair.
Yeah. We're at the end. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody, buy the anthology when it comes out because the people who are writing it are brilliant. And hopefully Jessica will come back when she has some more to talk about.
I always love chatting with you, Sherry. I'll be happy to come back at any point. And I'll let you know when that anthology is actually out. It should be a lot of fun, and look for it, like I said, early July, hopefully July 1st. If the proof comes back perfect, then I will make it available right away.
Cool. Wonderful. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.